You're about to listen to a message by Reverend Yomi Kasali of Foundation of Truth Assembly. May the word you hear bear fruit in your heart now and always.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Today, I want to speak on the dynamics of effective prayers. Dynamics of effective prayer. James chapter 5, a very famous passage of scriptures, but that we need to look into. Confess your fault. Verse 16. Confess your faults one to another. Pray ye for one another that you may be healed. Now, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. By the way, for example, Elijah was such a man, subject to like passions, as we heard today. He prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth, but a space of 3 years and 6 months. And then he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain. The earth brought forth a fruit. Your earth will bring forth fruits in Jesus' name. Amen. Your field will bring forth fruits in Jesus' name. You shall be fruitful even in a season of famine in the name of Jesus. Let me tell you, prayer can produce fruits. Prayers can make you fruitful. Father, we ask as we look into the word today that you open our eyes of understanding. You teach us to pray. You open our eyes to the keys to effective prayers that we may pray and get results. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. Amen. Listen, the next 45 minutes or thereabout, I'll be sharing 7 keys from the life of Elijah, the man of God. Now, it's very important for you to know that not all prayers are answered. I stressed on that last week. Today, I want to teach you how to get your prayers answered. How do I ensure that my prayers are effective, not just efficient? Somebody said efficiency is doing things right. Effectiveness is doing the right things. Efficiency is doing things right. And effectiveness is doing the right things. So I'm more concerned you can be efficient in prayers and not be effective in prayers. And we want to be effective, meaning getting results. Because that word effectual was used in Ephesians in James chapter 5, verse 16. It said effectual or effective prayers of a righteous man availeth much. The word avails means brings results. Effective. So we're teaching on the dynamics of effective prayers. How do I ensure that every time I bow my knees before the Lord, I get results? I must study prayers, study God, understand His mind and His will. Pray at the right time, I'll get results. 7 keys. Because for me to explain these keys to you, you need to understand prayer from a different angle. Because there are different kinds of prayers, as we've mentioned before in this, during the course of this teaching. Ephesians 6 verse 18. I'm not teaching us different kinds of prayers. One of the kinds of prayers that's exciting and taught by our Lord Jesus Christ himself is known as binding and loosing, or taking authority. Matthew 16 verse 19 and Matthew 18 verse number 18 through to verse number 20. Matthew 16 verse 19, 16 verse 19. I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom, and whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Can you imagine that? He's saying you can get to the point where you do things here and you have heaven's backing. Can you imagine? Whatever you lose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. The things you do here in prayers can have heaven's backing. How do I get there? How can I have heaven's backing in the place of prayers? Just like Elijah did things here and heaven gave rain. He did things here and heaven stopped rain. Did you get? How can a man on earth understand the dynamics of effective prayers, that what I do in my closet, heavens will answer, earth will yield fruits, people will know? How can I, in my little place, my little corner, do things that much that people above there, heaven will back me? Effectual, fervent prayers of a righteous man. Now, the fervency is not where I'm going to. Because people talk about the fervency. In other words, when we teach that part, we teach about being fervent in prayer, being diligent, being zealous. Now we thank God for that. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the effectual availeth much. Because we know from scriptures that there are many people, there are different examples of two people going to the temple to pray. And one prayer is answered, the other is not answered. The Elijah and the prophets of Baal, I spoke on that last week, remember? And I'm going to explain Elijah today. They both prayed. One person got answers to prayers. The other person didn't get answers to prayers. The publican and the Pharisee, remember that one too? Luke 18, they both went to the temple. One got answers to prayers, the other didn't get answers to prayers. I mean, it's amazing, isn't it? The one that I love most is the thief on the cross. The thieves on the cross. Do you know, both of them prayed. One got answer to prayer, the other didn't get answer to prayer. Luke 23, verse 39 to 43. I like the way they put it. Two malefactors, or two thieves. One of the malefactors which were hung on it, or read on him, saying, listen, this is what we call prayer. If you be Christ, save yourself and us. That's a prayer. Can I twist it for you? Can I rephrase it? Oh Lord, if you are God in heaven, if you are Jehovah indeed, if you are Alpha and Omega, Lord, hear my prayer now. Deliver me. He is God. You can't use emotional blackmail to blackmail God. To say, if you are God, save yourself and save us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, do you not fear God? Seeing you are in the same condemnation. Verse 41, and we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing amiss. Look at verse 42. And he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come to your kingdom. What a man that understood prayer. Two thieves prayed, and Jesus said to him, verily, verily, I say to you, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Two thieves prayed. So even God can answer the prayer of a thief. Two thieves, but the prayer must understand that God, you are just, you are righteous. What I've done, I deserve it. But please, Lord, remember me in your kingdom. One of the thieves got answer, the other one didn't get answer. So we have examples. That is what I call effectual, fervent prayer. That thief on the cross, God in his prayers answered. What did he do? He keyed into covenant. Now, let's look quickly at the man Elijah. I'll give you seven keys. Please write them down from home, all of you at home. Seven keys to praying dynamic, effective prayers. To praying effective prayers. The dynamics of effective prayers. The first key from 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 23 to 38. I'm not going to read the entire passage anymore. I read it last week. I'm not going to read it today. James chapter 5 is what we're going to look at. Number one, James chapter 5 says, Elijah was a man subject to like passions. Let's first of all establish that angels don't pray, men pray. Because so many people think, oh, God cannot answer my own prayer. He only answers prayers of men of God. That's not true. Every man born of a woman can cry to God and God will answer your prayer. James chapter 5, verse 16, 17, 18 says, Elijah was a man. I like that. You should underline that. You could have said Elijah was a prophet. Do you know why James did not magnify that? Today you say, oh, Elijah was a prophet. No. Elijah was a man. If you read other translations, he spoke about the humanity of Elijah in that passage. The humanity of Elijah. The man. So anybody listening to me now, as long as a man born of a woman, God can answer our prayers. If you understand the dynamics of effective prayer, Elijah was a man. Today you will say Elijah was a prophet. No, he said Elijah was a man. Subject, I like that word, subject to like passions. You see, another translation says, this translation, BB, says, Elijah was a man of flesh and blood as we are. He made a strong prayer. A man of flesh and blood. Let me tell you why. Let me show you three or four examples of Elijah's humanity. Number one, that Elijah was a man of flesh and blood. Subject to the same things you and I go through. Number one, Elijah was afraid of Jezebel. Forgotten. If you read 1 Kings 19, verse 1 to 4, Elijah was a man. His humanity showed because he had fear. This was a man, exactly. This was a man that just killed 800 prophets. A man that just called down fire from heaven. A man that just opened the heavens and heaven gave rain. A man that heaven backed. A woman, sorry to say women, I'm sorry, please, women, forgive me for that word, a woman. I'm not despising women because it was a queen. A woman, a man that just prayed, heaven opened. He prayed, fire fell. He prayed, rain came. He killed 800 prophets of Baal. The next chapter, 1 Kings 19, the woman said, from verse 1, give me verse 1, by this time tomorrow, he had told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and with all how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Verse 2, then Jezebel sent messenger to Elijah saying, go, so let the gods do to me more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them tomorrow by this time. Eh? When he had it, verse 3, hey! When he saw that, how can you see it? The Bible should say, when he heard. But the Bible did not say when he heard. Bible said when he saw. You miss that. When he saw. Words create images. So immediately Elijah saw image of himself being beheaded. Hey. The way he killed others. Hey. When he saw, he arose. He ran for his life. He came to Beersheba. And he left his servant there. And verse 4, he ran again. Verse 4, he ran and he told God, high and I alone. He himself went this journey. And then he ran somewhere. He requested that he should die. He was suicidal. And he said, it is enough. Oh Lord, take away my life. So listen to me. Listen, all of you here and those watching at home. Elijah was a man. The first key you must understand in prayers is that God answers prayers of men. Because many of us always think, oh, the reason my prayer is not answered is because I'm not angelic enough. I'm not holy enough. I am too manly. That's not true. I'm too human. That's not true. Elijah was afraid. And God answered his prayer. He was afraid. That same man was afraid. He was a man. He was hungry. And he begged for fruit. This was a man to show his humanity. He was afraid. He was subject to like passions. How? Fear. Two, hunger. How do you mean? Elijah went to meet the widow of Zarephath. Please give me food. I'm hungry. Subject. So Elijah's humanity was explained and described in the scriptures. Did not come from a rich family. He felt lonely and depressed. He could be victim of depression. Elijah was depressed. Elijah was hungry. Elijah was afraid. So that's the first key that you must all know. In fact, when he was tired, what did he do? He slept off. Remember? An angel came to wake him up in 1 Kings chapter 19. So Elijah was a man. The first key or dynamics. All of you at home watching me and those of you here, don't forget that being a man does not mean that God won't answer our prayers. I wrote here, I said, Bible called him a man, not a prophet. I like the way James put it. The book of James is deep. The man did not say Elijah was a prophet. He said Elijah was a man. Please, I hope you hear that for me. Elijah was a man. Yet he prayed and heaven backed him. He didn't say Elijah was a prophet. He said Elijah was a man. Was a man. God can answer your prayers today. So it's not only prophets and men of God like us that God listens to. God listens to men. If those men understand his covenant, connect with him, he will answer them. A prophet can pray and God will answer his prayers. A man can pray and God will answer his prayers. Number two, second dynamics. The first dynamic is Elijah was a man. Number two, he repaired the altar in the first instance to pull down the fire. Altar. Why did Elijah have to repair altar? He understood that for you to get God's favor, you need to repair the altar. If you don't repair the altar, you are going to be in trouble. Praise God. Praise God. Point number two, he repaired the altar. Listen to me. Why would Elijah repair an altar? Because he understood the place of prayers. Listen, If you don't have a altar, altar symbolic and figurative, not literal and physical, every person should understand that don't let your altar be broken. The enemy tries to attack our altars. Altar means a place of relationship with God. That's what it means. A place of prayerful spiritual relationship with God. Altar also means a place of covenant. Covenant. How many of you have altars? There are many people that walk with God without altars. Altar simply means make sure you have a covenant with God and let nothing break that covenant, corrupt that covenant, contaminate that covenant. You see Abraham in Genesis 15, when he brought the doves and the birds and was sleeping, he chased away the vultures. Don't touch, don't touch, don't pollute, don't contaminate my covenant with God. This is what belongs to him. Anything I give to God, I don't want you to touch it. Even the carcass is more important than the living. So he chased vultures. It's covenant. If you want God to answer our prayers, you must understand his covenant. Guess what? We are now under the new covenant of grace, not of works. So don't you ever come to God and say, I fast, I pray, because God will not answer. That is, you are bragging about your works, because by works shall no man stand before the Lord. When you come to God, you come in the name of Jesus. You come with the blood of Jesus, the blood of sprinkling, the blood of the covenant. Nobody will come and say, God. That's why I blasted those preachers that were saying, my daughter's married as a virgin. Meaning what? That's you are magnifying your works of the flesh by works. If it is of works, then it's not of grace. Galatians chapter 3. When you come to God, come understanding the altar. The altar is a place of covenant. Covenant. Dynamics of effective prayers. You don't go to God to say, God, watch me. Elijah did not say, God, look at prophets of Baal. Look at me, I'm better than them. He first of all did what? Repaired the altar. If he had not repaired the altar, he brought the wood, 12 stones, meaning 12 tribes of Israel. He put it in order, meaning God loves orderliness, not this chaos. Oh, Jesus. He put it in order. You must understand the place of order. I wish I had more time to explain that word, altar. Because if you are going to walk with God, you must walk with order. You must walk with covenant. You must understand his tribes. When I say tribe, God knows his own people. You must connect. You must connect with what God cares about. You must understand his covenant. You want effective prayers? Pray like Elijah did. What is the covenant of grace? Watch me. Grace is God's riches at Christ's expense from heaven. But grace is useless without truth. John 1:17. That's the problem with grace preachers. Hyper grace preachers. I'm a grace preacher. Bible says the law, John 1:17, the law came by Moses. But what? Grace alone? Grace and what? Truth. Grace from above. Truth of man. Where does truth work? Let me tell you what truth is. Truth is what that man said on the cross of Calvary. He said what? True Lord, I'm a sinner. Saved by grace. Remember me. That's truth. When you come to his presence and you quote his grace for him, Lord, I'm living in the era of grace. You must also acknowledge, truthfully, I do not deserve your grace, but for. So there must be elements of truth that must pierce your heart as you connect with grace. For grace is stronger and sharper when truth is in force. For grace and truth, you can't throw truth away and grab grace. You can't throw truth out of the window and hold on to grace. They work hand in hand. They work together. Grace is stronger in the presence of truth. Truth is stronger when grace is there. Praise the Lord. So, first key, He was a man. So every man and woman can pray and God will answer their prayers. Second key, he repaired the altar. He repaired the altar. So please, I don't know who I'm talking to today. Go and rebuild that altar that you've destroyed with your lifestyle, with your corrupt lifestyle. Rebuild your altar. Relationship with God thrown down and pulled down by our idolatrous lifestyle. That's the altar we should all rebuild. Number three, the third key, like a room, he waited for the time of prayers. If you read 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 36, please let me project 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 36. I'm going there now. And in the same, it came to pass at the time. Oh, Jesus, help me. Open our eyes to understand the times. Times. At the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, Elijah prophet came there and said, Lord God of Abraham. You don't understand it. The Bible says to us that the prophet of Baal started to pray in the morning to noon, from noon to midday. So Elijah was waiting. He knew there were some times to pray because there was a time of prayer. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 3, at the hour of prayer, Peter and John were going in. A time, you must understand times if you walk with God. If you are going to walk with God well, if you are going to have effective prayers, you must understand times. Now, what time are we now? It's a COVID time. In the presence of God, what prayers should we be praying now? Do you know in January, creative days, we have a particular prayer we pray. End of the year, there's a particular prayer we pray. Why? Because in our minds, it's end of the year. End of the year prayer is different. From November, October, people are saying, Lord, let me see the end of this year. In January, it's our praying, Lord, bless me throughout this year. Times and seasons. For those that walk with God, understand times and seasons. Elijah knew the time to pray. If you don't study times, you'll be praying the right prayer at the wrong time. You must understand what prayer to pray. You'll be praying the right prayers at the wrong times. You must study it. Study the role of time in the spirit. Jesus came when? In the fullness of time. When his time had not come, hello, when they wanted to arrest Jesus, did he pray, Lord, save me? He just walked through. Why? He knew my time had not yet come. When his time came, what did he say? He went to Gethsemane, Lord, the time has come. You must understand time. And when you understand timing, your prayers will be right. You pray along with your time. You must understand times and season. The Bible says there is time and season under the earth, everywhere. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Many of us don't know that prayers functions in the spirit in time. We don't even understand what time we are. Husband and wife don't know what time they are living in. They just live like other people. We live like secular men. For your marriage, it could be a time of trial and trouble. What should you pray? Lord, give us strength to go through this. Don't divorce. Don't run out. Give us time. Lord, give me patience. There's time. You know when it's just get married, there's honeymoon time. That honeymoon, you start seeing the real crisis in the relationship. Time. Elijah. If you want to pray like Elijah, you must understand that there's time. He waited. Bible says, when the time of evening oblation came. Let me explain to you. In the Middle Eastern culture, they pray with moons. Like the Muslims will look at the moon to call Ramadan. And they also pray five times a day. Those five times a day, they observe the times. There's the early morning prayer. There's the last evening prayer. There's the afternoon prayer. Same also in the scripture days. There are times to pray. For whatever reason that they come with those times, I don't know. But Elijah understood time. That's literal time. I'm speaking spiritual timing. I'm speaking spiritual matters here. Hoping that you understand the kind of prayers to pray at the right time. Sir, when should I start praying for my children to be raised in God's life? The moment you get married. Lord, the kids you give to us, may they be God's after yours. So you start asking God, when you start praying for your wife. I've been praying for my son and my daughter's wife and husband from the time they were born. Lord, give me a good man, a good woman for them. So it's not when you now say, okay, they're now 28. Won't you marry? Holy Spirit, what kind of husband do you want for them? Now they're saying, what kind of husband should they? Lord, I don't know. Tell me. And the prayer should not be, Lord, they must marry tomorrow. That's not godly prayer. You must, thy will be done. Brethren, he waited for the time. That's key number what? 3. He waited for the time. You must understand time. The word time is deep there. That was why it was easier for God to answer immediately. Because the time was ripe. Oh, you missed that. Can I tell you why the time was ripe? Key number 4 is the reason why the time was ripe. I'm going to ask you a question here. Key number 4. You must, even though you are not praying at the right time, you must also hear the right word. Though you are, the timing, you got it right, you must pray the right word. He heard verse 41. Give me verse 41. Elijah said to him, get thee up and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. He heard. So what he heard, he now went to bury himself to pray. But can I ask you a question? This is verse 41. When did Elijah hear it? Can I show you something that many Christians don't know? Go to verse 1. Verse 1. It came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord, verse 1. My sister Favor, verse 1. The word of the Lord came to Elijah the third year, saying, go show yourself to him. I will send rain upon the earth. My God, help me. He heard it in verse number 1, not verse 41. But between verse 1 and verse 41, what Elijah did, don't tell anybody I told you. There's no proof that God told him to do it. When he was calling down fire, what God said is, I will send rain. But as he was going, he said, before God send rain, because if God brings rain now, this prophet of Baal can go and take credit. Yes, sir. Don't forget, the prophet of Baal had been praying for rain for 3 years too. Before, I don't want these guys to take credit. So as he showed himself, he said, oh king, I want to have a contest between me and the prophet of Baal. Let's first fight. So the God that answers by fire, not rain this time, because I know rain is coming. The God that answers by fire, let him be God. Fire being rage and anger. Rain being blessings. So he first had a contest. He won that contest. So nobody can now say they are their own prayers that brought rain. He now went to go and pray for the rain. And rain came. Because if he had not done that, the prophets of Baal could claim it was their prayers that brought rain. And that's what's happening in Nigeria today. God knows how to disgrace false prophets. Those that God will disgrace them. They will not say it's my prayer that God answered. They didn't pray jack. God has left them. False prophets. But there's nobody that can say God killed them and will never pray that prayer. We must never pray that prayer. Some Christian to pray that God should kill somebody. Some Christian, deeply un-Christian, to pray that God should kill somebody. So he heard. So key number 4, you must pray what you hear. You must pray what you hear, not what you want. You must hear what you pray, not just pray what you want. Did you write that down? He said, I hear the abundance of sound of rain. You know, even if he had wanted rain a year before, as long as it wasn't time, don't pray it. You know, I told you, no, key number 3 is pray along the time. Imagine if Elijah prayed for rain 2 years before, would the rain have come? He would be praying the right prayer at the wrong time. If he had prayed that prayer 6 months before God spoke to him, would the rain have come? No. Right prayer, wrong time. So he waited until God told him, I will send rain. Father, thank you. He now went. He now, even though God has spoken, God had spoken, he still needed to pray. Because many of you say, after all, the man of God prophesied fruitfulness this year. Let's go and sleep. No. I prophesied fruitfulness. Not all men heard. Those that heard should pray it. She prayed. Oh, yes, he prayed. He prayed. God wants us to pray according to his word. That's key number four. Still under, he heard the sound of abundance of rain, and he prayed. Don't forget, we're looking at our case study of effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man. How do we know the right way to pray? We've picked a man today from scripture. His name is who? Elijah. So since Elijah is our case study, let's now study the man's prayer life. How did he pray? So I'm picking you seven keys, indisputable, irrefutable keys of prayers. Number one, men pray, not angels. Number two, you pray with what? You build an altar. You must repair the altar. Number three, you must pray with time and season. Number four, you must hear God's word before you pray it. What is God's will concerning what you're praying? You must also hear his word through prophetic vessels. You must pray according to Holy Scriptures. You must pray according to prophetic vessels. He had heard the word much earlier in verse 1. God told him, go, I'm sending rain. So he simply prayed. Listen, what prayer for him was he was agreeing with God. So if I say God will bless you, you will say what? Amen. So be it. You are agreeing. I receive it. You are agreeing with God. God told him in verse 1, I send rain. He went in verse 1, he said, God, I hear the sound of abundance of rain. So he announced it. He declared it. He prophesied it. And then he went to pray it. Number 5. Key number 5. Listen, everybody, if you are going to pray and be heard, you must have the right posture. He must have the right posture. The Bible says to us that in verse 43, 44, that Elijah bowed. You see, he cast himself down upon the earth, put his face between his knees. The Holy Spirit showed me this many years ago. He said, if you are going to pray, very symbolic posture. The posture that God accepts is a posture where you bring your head, your senses, four of our senses of the five are on our face. Four of our senses are here. Sense of sight, sense of smell, sense of touch, sense of hearing. So you must bury this. Watch me. Bury this here. That's the right posture. Lord, it's not what I see. It's what you see. It's what I hear. So I want to hear your voice. I want to see your vision. I want to speak your words. I want to perceive what you're doing. The right posture is always right. You can't come to God's presence with an arrogant posture. You can't come to God's presence with a sense of entitlement. It's still by grace. Grace should not make you arrogant and have a sense of entitlement. If it's by grace, it's not by works. Because works is a sense of entitlement. Even my son, when he asks me for money, he does not ask with a sense of entitlement. He asks with a sense of reverence. Daddy, please, can you loan me? Can you give me? Sir, Daddy, please, I need. You don't just say, Daddy, I'm your son. Give me money. Give me money. Give me car. Give me this. That's a sense of entitlement. So the right posture, spiritually, is critical for answer prayers. The right posture, spiritually, is critical. I'm not speaking literally. I'm not saying literally to be kneeling down. I'm saying spiritually. I use the word spiritually and the posture of worship. The Greek word worship means proskuneo. Proskuneo means to bow before him. So that's the posture spiritually. Many of us come to pray standing instead of posturing before him. He didn't bow before the king, but the King of Kings. You know, he didn't bow before Ahab. Ahab was there. He didn't bow before Ahab. He bowed before the King of Kings in the place of prayer. He spoke to Ahab. He said, Ahab, go, rain is coming. Then he went, Elijah, to bow before the King of Kings. He bowed before him. How many of us do have a bowed posture? You want God to answer our prayers? Bow. Bow before him. Bow before him. Prayers must be done in secret and your closet. How many of you noticed, unlike most of our fathers of faith today, that they pray for people in public? I'd rather pray for you in secret. If a governor comes to our church, what should I do? Take me to my office. Can I pray with you? Pray for them. When I bring them to the public, I want to pray for you in public. That is not the prayer God answers. That's for optics. That's for show. That's showboating. Because why am I praying for you in public? Why? So my members can know governors come to me for prayers. Why am I God? No man is God. God does not answer one man's prayer more than others. Very clearly. He didn't pray with his servant. So he bowed before God. And he prayed in secret. Number six. Key number six. I'm rounding up now. Don't forget, the posture that God respects is a humble posture. A bowed posture. A kneeling, spiritually. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Number six, the sixth key. Please write it down, all of you, for you to pray effective prayers. The dynamics of effective prayers. Number six, he did not, if you notice, he did not pray with his servant, but his servant was watching. There's watch and pray. He told his servant to go. So there's some prayers that God expects us to pray. There's a place for prayer partners. There's a prayer for you and God alone. Effective prayers. There are some jobs that nobody will do for you. So all these people say, let me go and give a prophet to pray for me. There are some prayers God wants you to pray. You can't pray prayer prophets. You put them on service. Be paying them every month. Be praying for you. What are you doing with your own mouth? You are too lazy to pray. So you are paying people to go and pray for you. You're not a serious Christian. So they can be praying for you while you are eating. Is that how it works? Have you turned God to a deity? Ogun, Ifa, Shango? That you can just go and begin to say, oh yeah, you priest, go and talk to Shango on my behalf. That's not our God. God wants to have a relationship with people. And you must do your own prayers in your own closet. Every man should spend time with God in prayers. Spend time alone with God. And this is not, I have servants, I have associates, I have staff, I have friends, I have brothers, I have sisters. When it comes to prayer, there's some prayers, it is me and God. It's me and my Father. It's not your turn. It's not your prayers. I'm going to wrestle with God in a place of prayers to pull down rain on my land. Jacob sent his family away in Genesis 32, and he went to the place where God changed his name, and he called the place Peniel. For there I met with God, I travailed in prayer, and I prevailed as a prince with God in a place of prayers. Praise the Lord. Listen, his servant was simply watching for Elijah. You know, his servant, he said, go and watch. Did you see anything? The man came back and said, Master, I see nothing. He went back to pray. Jesus also did that. Remember, at Gethsemane, he prayed alone, and he told Peter, James, and John, go and watch for me. Watch for me 1 hour. Remember, and he will come back. Are you still watching? Ah, you are sleeping. As I watch, you are sleeping. This is a prayer you pray yourself. Even Jesus prayed that prayer. His servants were what? Watching for him. Those close to him couldn't understand how to pray. Hallelujah. Sometimes some people that are close to us don't know how to pray. But we pray our prayers and we get our results. This is a perfect example of watch and pray. Someone else might be watching. Even you might be watching. Praise the Lord. Finally, the seventh key, which is important. Anytime you hear God's word, anytime. All of you, listen. The seventh key is the most important key. It's a key that many Christians throw away. And we never access our benefits from God. Like a key to a house. The key to the bedroom. Where the real bounty is. You use the first key to open the gate to the compound. Second key to open the main door. Third key to open the gate to the staircase. Fourth key to open the key to the reception of my office. Fifth key to open the one to the office. Sixth key to now open the safe. To now get to my bathroom. The seventh key is onto the safe where the money is. So many Christians get to the fifth key, they throw it away. The fourth key, they are tired. Seven keys. The seventh key is the most important. And that for me was the way where we call persistence in prayer. Paul said, continue in prayer. He prayed seven times. Seven is the number of perfection. Why did he have to pray the second time, the third time, the fourth time, the fifth time, the sixth time, the seventh time? Can I tell you why? He heard God's word clearly. He knew in verse 1 that God said, I will send rain. Anytime you hear God's word clearly, very clearly, do not ever stop praying. For God is not man to lie, neither the son of man to repent. He heard God. If you are not sure, if you felt you like the car your sister is driving and you want the kind of car, you pray for a second time, you better quit praying. But if you are sure that this is God's voice you heard, and you are convinced, persuaded, that that word was prophetic, was for you, you must keep praying until heaven opens. Don't quit on God. Don't stop praying. He prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. He told his servant, what do you see? I see nothing. No, something is wrong. He prayed again. He prayed again. Then the young man came and said, sir, I think I see a small cloud. Yes. Little cloud is enough sign of a big rain coming. Little cloud is enough sign of a great rain coming. Little sign. He prayed. Many Christians quit praying. Oh yes, we stop praying. Don't you ever. That is the seventh key that we don't know how to use anymore. How many times have you quit on God? Have we given up on God? Have we dropped and said, maybe this is not worth it? That's why many people do not have their blessings till tomorrow. They quit where they shouldn't quit. They start well. They pray at the right time. They do the right stuff. Then when they don't see this, do you know what it means to pray and you are sure God told you? You're sure God told you. Do you know what God was testing? Elijah was human. He kept praying. Seven times. He kept praying. And Christians forget that rain that Elijah brought, he prayed it after seventh trial. On the seventh trial. Even technology tells you after the third trial, your PIN shall be locked out. Have you ever gotten your token or your Yahoo password? The first trial, second trial, third trial, but the fourth trial, they lock you out. On this, the man said, if you like, lock me out, I will lock myself in. He kept praying until heaven opened. Push until something happens. That's what they call it. Pray. Keep praying. Keep praying. Please, effective prayers should be persistently done. He prayed until he got results. Since he heard the word, he knew very well that he heard the word. He stayed in God's presence until heaven gave rain. Many of you will leave God's presence in anger, in despair, in thinking maybe God as maybe I didn't hear God. I've never been there before. You know, maybe I didn't hear God. Maybe it wasn't me that heard God though. You heard God. But you are too lazy. You believe that once God speaks, God must do it by. He prayed seven times. God came to meet him. God spoke to him clearly. He prayed seven times. He stayed in God's presence. He held on to God's word. And this is where we all fail. I ask you today, those of you watching at home, please don't quit on God and don't fail. Be like Elijah. Note those seven keys. I've just given you the secret of praying effectively. If you want to pray and get results, I've just given you the keys, the secret and the secrets. You can't miss it if you do these seven things. You understand the place of timing, place of covenant. You do what is right at the right time. You will find results. We follow your prayers. Please, I pray that you will not quit on God. Don't give up on God. It will come through for you. Let me pray for you all at home. Put your hands together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me pray with you at home. I want to ask God to strengthen your heart, to hold on to His word, and don't give up on God. Do not give up on God. Hold on to His word. It will come through. It will answer your prayers. It will heed your call. It will lift you out of your doldrum of shame. It will bring your blessings for you. If God spoke to you as He's spoken, will He not do it? Has God ever failed man? No. It can never, never fail. God cannot fail. God, it's impossible for God to lie. Titus tells us that God cannot lie, God cannot fail. I pray that God will come through for you in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. For those watching me right now at home, I pray, oh God, that your presence would visit those homes, touch those hearts, and we will have a rethink about prayers today. Help us to pray effectively, to pray and get results in the name of Jesus. I pray that your fire will fall from heaven to indeed show men that we are your sons and daughters. Thank you, Daddy. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. Amen. Put your hands together for Jesus. Put your hands together.
Thank you for listening.